Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right. Can you guys hear me okay this morning? All right. It's Freedom Friday. You know, another week is coming to a close. You know, God is good. And I hope you guys are all dressing properly and putting on your coats and your hats and everything else, because it is cold outside. And especially for me, my teeth just go ballistic every time I go out there because I don't like the cold. But let's make sure that we cover ourselves properly. That way we don't get a cold. Anyway, we are in Romans 15 this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you. We just thank you for this time that you have given us, Father God, for all those who are watching and listening. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you will speak to us. Let it be you and not me, Father. And I just thank you, Father God, for your presence, my Lord. I thank you that you are there, my Lord. Whenever we need you, we can call upon you, Father. So I just praise you and I exalt your name this morning. Thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, do a little stretch, you know, get that blood moving around your body. Amen. All right. Romans 15. It says, "We then who are strong are to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant to you to be like-minded towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God of the and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. 10. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, for all the Gentiles laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you in some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might minister Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and that the offering of the gospel of God, the offering of the Gentiles might be accepted sacrificed by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have a reason to glory in Jesus Christ in the things where it pertains to God, for I would not dare to speak of any of these things which Christ has not accomplished through me in words or deeds to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so from Jerusalem to around about Lucilium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he has announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. 22. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you in my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it is pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed these and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by your way to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come to you in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me, that I may deliver from those in Judea and who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen and amen. All right. Woo, got through all that reading, man. That's a lot of reading that I have to do this morning. But yeah, you know, this particular book, you know, the book of Romans, you know, it was written by Paul, you know, and it was written in the spring of AD 57 on his way to Jerusalem. You know, he wanted to impact, you know, them in Rome with spiritual strength. He wanted to strengthen the believers. And it starts off in this particular chapter 15. It says, when then who are strong are to bear the scruples of the weak and do not please themselves, let each of us, you know, please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. You know, we who are strong and mature Christians, you know, we need to make sure that we help the new believers, that we help those that are weaker than us, those that are starting in the Lord, because we are all in different levels of understanding as we mature and we grow in the Lord. And we have to be, you know, open-minded that there are those that may not understand all the things that we understand as mature Christians. It says in Galatians 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, you know, it says to help, you know, those who are spiritual, those who are mature, help those that are struggling, help those that may need encouragement, that may need a hand. You know, not talk about them, not bring them down, but to lift them up because they need our support. In 1 Corinthians 19:22, it says, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I may win more. In other words, you know, even though, you know, he's not at their level, he's in a higher level here. You know, he says that I bring myself down so that way they can understand. That way they can understand where I'm coming from. And in verse 22 of that particular chapter, it says, to the weak I become as weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. In other words, it's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's about the gospel. It's about reaching them. It's about teaching them. It's about helping them. It's about strengthening them. And that's what it's all about. That it says here that we who are strong are to help. And I'm sure in this particular Zoom meeting, you all are strong. You all are, you've been hanging with us for all this time. So you are being built up, and it's our responsibility to build up others. In verse 3, he says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach of those who reproach you fell on me. In other words, you know, Christ, you know, he was a perfect example. He bore it all for you and I. He didn't look at himself to who he really was, the Son of God, but he brought himself down. And when Christ himself was, you know, in the garden, and he went for prayer, you know, he was breaking inside of him what was to come. And in Matthew 26, 39, you know, he says that when he went in, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. This is Jesus. Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So even Christ, you know, he said, he brought himself down. He says, no, Father, it's not my will. It's not what I really want. Because Christ, you know, Christ saw what was going to happen. He didn't want to go through it. But yet again, he said, not my will, let your will be done. You know, Christ chose, you know, the insults and the hostility of the people, you know, that they had against God, you know, but he did it all to please the Father. He did it all to please the Father. And that's what the Lord is asking us, to do what all that we can do to please the Father, you know, because we're supposed to be that example of the love for the Father. In Psalm 69:9, you know, the writer here, which I believe was David, he says, because of zeal, because of love for your house, has eaten me out for the house of the Lord, and the reproaches of those who reproach you has fallen upon me. You know, so here again, you know, a lot of times, you know, we may take a lot of hits, we may take a lot of hurts, you know, but the Lord is telling us, but you are strong enough to take that, but please help their little ones. Please help the other ones, the less fortunate one. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be reaching out and be an example of Christ, be an example of what he has done for us. You know, there's so much teaching in this particular chapter, and I'm not going to be able to cover it all. I'm sorry. Can't cover it all in this little time that we have. But I'm just trying to break it down a little bit. He also goes into the word of God in verse 4. He says, whatever things were written before they were written for your learning. So in other words, the scripture was written to teach us. Scripture was written to guide us, to strengthen us, to direct us. And all scripture is good. All scripture. Sometimes people believe that, okay, well, I live in the New Testament because I'm under the New Covenant and I don't have to live under the Old Covenant. And they go back and forth. But you know, the whole word of God, the whole word of God, we have to read the whole word of God because it gives us a better picture. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's given by inspiration. So God inspired the word to be written, okay? Inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It is profitable for reproach, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And then it goes on, that all men and women, come on now, all men and women, that's why they don't put women there, but I'm putting it in there, all men and women of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the word of God equips us. The word of God gives us what we need, you know, to function in this world, to do his will. You know, and again, without his word, you know, we have no sense of direction. We won't have no sense of direction, but his word is God speaking to us directly. In Luke 24, 27, and this is Jesus, when he's talking about himself, they, you know, because who he was, he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So even Jesus, you know, they wrote about Jesus back in the day. Back in Genesis, there are little glimpse of Jesus throughout the whole Bible of who he was and what was going to happen to him. So again, that's why the whole Bible, you cannot take it apart and say, I'm only going to use this, but it's the whole word of God. And it was written for us. It was written to teach us. And now it goes into another teaching in verse 5. It says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you all to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. Be like mountain. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. In other words, you know, we all have to be like-minded. We all have to be like-minded. We all serve the Lord. We all worship God. You know, and the teachings that we receive here at Fusion, they edify us, they strengthen us, they guide us, they equip us, and we all need to be in the same mind that the Lord is telling us to be here. Because if we're divided, we fall. Whenever there's division, the fall will come, and we cannot be divided. We cannot be divided. But so, in other words, you know, I love you all. I love you all, and you all are different levels in your own Christian walk and different age groups and everything. But guess what? I can love you all. Why? Because Christ first loved me, and I have that love, you know, so I can have that mind just to love you, you know. So I try to be and have the mind of Christ. And it's not always easy, because when somebody comes and rattles your cage, you know how we can get, we can get off track. But it tells us to be like-minded. In verse 6, it says, that you may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we be united. And so it's talking about unity. It's talking about walking in unity. In Philippians 2, verses 2 and 5, Paul says, you know, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord with one mind. Again, reinforcing the one mind. And then in verse 5 of Philippians 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. To have the mind of Christ. The only way we're going to have our mindset change is if we walk away from the word. But if we stay plugged in the word, if we stay plugged in scripture, we stay plugged in with one another, we will have that mindset. We will have the same pattern. We will have the same thought. I remember back in the day when I had hair, I used to have hair pushed back a little bit, you know, and I look kind of cool back in the day. Well, back in the day, you know, when I was a co-pastor, I was always translating for the senior pastor into English. So we had a bilingual church, and one time when I was translating and ministering, and I was mimicking the pastor. And guess what? I started to look like him. I started to mimic his words, his body language, and all that. Because why? Because we were like-minded. We were in one thought. We were in one feeling of just bringing the word to the people. So I became almost like him, like a carbon copy. And I looked at myself in the mirror. Oh my God, I don't even look like him. But look what I'm doing. Like-minded. And the Lord just reminded me of that. That's how we're supposed to be, to have the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, you know. And now here again, the scripture, you know, this, like I said, this chapter has so many different teaching. It goes there in verse 7. It says, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, back in the day, back in this particular time that the word was written here in Romans, there was a lot of Gentiles. There was a lot of Jews coming together. So there was always going to be conflict. When you bring two different people with different thought plans and different ways of understanding, there's always going to be conflict. And here the writer, Paul, you know, he's trying to tell them that we need to receive one another. It doesn't matter who comes in the door, we got to receive them. And that's for the church today. You know, we receive anybody that comes in the door. We don't care what you look like. We're just going to invite you in. We're going to open up the doors and invite you in, because we never know who is coming in that door. You never know what man or what leader, you know, what future pastor is coming in that door, what future evangelist is coming in that door. So we receive them all. And it says here, and it says there, to receive one another, just as Christ received us. Christ received us without judgment. So we need to make sure that we receive one another. You know, in Matthew 15:24, you know, Jesus said, "For he answered and said, I was not sent except for the lost, you know, for the house of Israel." This is when a Gentile showed up and she wanted prayer, you know, her daughter to be healed. And Christ was kind of like ignoring her, you know, and she pleaded and she pleaded with the Lord, and she didn't even stop, you know. But in verse 28 of chapter 15 of Matthew, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said to the woman, great is your faith, and let it be as you have desired. And her daughter was healed at that very hour." So here he healed the Gentile's daughter. Again, another set of group of people, you know, that Jesus was saying, they also belong to me. So again, we need to make sure that we treat everybody the same. That's what the Apostle Paul here was saying. And then in verse 8, he says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become the servant of the circumcision of the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles." So again, speaking about the Gentiles, speaking about, you know, that we receive one another, speaking about that we gather together, you know. And so in all of this receiving, you know, the Lord is really calling us to be united, you know, there'll be unity, and that there'll be healing, there'll be restoration for all the different groups. You know, and because we are all the same. We are all the same. And in John 10, verses 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In 28, it says, "I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So the Lord is telling, you know, we are his sheep. You know, we are all the same. You know, and no one can snatch us from the Lord's hand. You know, and here, "my hand" is referring to Jesus, because Jesus is the one that is speaking here. But in verse 29, it says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." I didn't realize this before, but, you know, at one point he's talking about the hand of Jesus, and now he's talking about the hand of God. And I looked at it, and I said, "Oh my goodness, look at this." So and this just got me stuck there for a moment. And I say, so we are in one sense, one foot is in God's hands and one foot is in Jesus' hands, you know. So they both have us, you know. And he says, "Who can snatch us out of his hands?" That alone is, my brothers and sisters, is a moment for us to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are there with me and the Father is there with me," because both of them are included in this particular verses. And I said, like, wow, I didn't see that before. I always read it, but then this time around when I'm reading it, I said, like, that just popped out. And I said, like, wow, in the hands of Jesus and in the hands of the Father, they both have us. Wow. And that's just enough to say, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you. That made my day. That made my day. Thank you, Father, that we are in your hands. And that alone is a reason for us to rejoice. That alone is a reason for us to declare his mercy, to declare his glory, because he loves us so much. He loves us so much. And here, you know, my time is running up, but here it's getting into a time of rejoicing, because in verse 10, it says, and again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Again, talking about unity, rejoice, all you Gentiles, with his people. And in 11, he says, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, at the praise him, all you people. So again, you know, rejoicing to the Lord. And we have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to worship God. We have a reason to glorify God, because he has brought us to this point. He has brought us to this very hour that we're living in today. This morning, you guys were able to get out of bed. This morning, you guys were able to lock into the Zoom. This morning, you know, God is speaking to you. And I don't know what you're going through. And I know my time is running out, but I don't know what you're going through. But you know, when we rejoice and when we praise God in the midst of the storm, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of doubt, in the midst of all that we see around us, you know, when we praise and worship God, that's when the hand of God moves, because the hand of God sees your faith. He told this individual woman that was a Gentile, your daughter, you know, will be healed, you know, and because she was just bugging him. She was just bugging him, you know, but she was persistent, you know, and we are persistent with our praise. If we are persistent with our worship, if we just learn to just praise him in the storm, praise him in the trial. Because, you know, because when we praise him in the difficulties, that brings honor to him. And when he receives that praise, you know, he's gonna move. Why? Because he will say about you, how great is that individual's faith? Wow. Look how they praise me in the middle of the storm. And that's what the Lord, you know, is looking at, that we take that extra step. Because he already has us in his hands. He already holds us in his hand. And in this season, again, that we are living in, the season, you know, it is December, Christmas is coming. A lot of people are going ballistic. A lot of people are going crazy. What are we going to do? How are we going to pay for this? You know, we got to just step back a little bit. It's not about the gifts. It's not about all that stuff. It's not about getting dressed up in red. Okay. It's not all about that. It is about Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. It is the gift of the Lord, the gift of Jesus Christ. And that alone should be my emphasis of just bringing my praise to him and bringing my worship to him, you know, and everything else, whatever I can do, I do. And what I cannot do is not going to happen. You know, don't get all, you know, you go to get too crazy. We get too crazy during this season. And the Lord is looking for our hearts. The Lord is looking for our hearts. And that's what he wants from us. He wants our praise, just like it says here. He wants our praise. He wants our worship. And when we do that, he gives us that joy. He gives us that peace. You know, verse 13, he says, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Okay? The God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in this season, let us hold on to hope that leads to joy and it leads to peace. You know, if I hold on to that joy, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, scripture says. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if I need strength this morning, guess what? I need to have joy. So if I start praising God, if I start worshiping God, even though I may not feel it, because it's not about feelings. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what somebody's saying. But we start praising God and we worship him. That joy is going to come out. I don't know about you, but I start praising God. You know, my feet and underneath my seat, they already start moving because I get excited. I get too excited. People say, you move too much. You move too much. Guess what? I move too much. That's why when I worship God, I stand out by myself You guys in Cumberland County know me that I go into the corner and I'm worshiping God. When they're practicing on Sunday morning and I get a couple of moments, I run in there. I'm in the corner in the back of the church and I'm just, praise God, worshiping God. I'm doing the dark overbeat, you know what I mean? Because, he's always going like this and he's always jumping up and down. Well, I don't jump that much, but, I get around. So I start worshiping God. I start praising God. And you know what? And as I praise God, the Holy Spirit just comes down. That presence, that anointing of the Father comes down. And that just lifts me up. I receive more touch in that moment than I may receive in the whole service. Why? Because I'm always busy. I'm always serving. I'm always helping. I'm always doing this and doing that. But when I take that moment and I just start praising God, makes all the difference in the world. So I'm going to challenge you sometime today. Take 5 minutes, you and the Lord, and say, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to worship you. I want to honor you with my praise. Because you know what? We honor God when we praise him. We honor God when we open up our mouths, when we confess it. Don't think it in your head. You got to say it out there. Because you know what? Another thing, when we worship and when we praise God, our voices are being heard. The enemy has to leave. The enemy has to flee. He can't stand praise. He can't stand your worship, So even Valerie, when she's there and she's doing all this exercise thing, and you see her there in the morning, and she's doing all her thing, and she's flexing and going like that and all that, and she's praising God. God's even right there with her because she's praising to the Lord. If she's worshiping to the Lord, and a lot of times, when I was in the military, I worked out just about every day. Every day I was working out. And I'm there in the machines and I'm doing all that kind of stuff. I was always meditating upon him. And while everybody else was speaking junk, I was under the cloud of the anointing of God. And I was just feeling his presence. There were times that I had to wipe the tears out of my eyes as I'm worshiping God and working out in those machines, So it doesn't matter the place. It just matters the time that you take. The 5 minutes today that you take just to worship, just to give him the praise, just to give him the glory, and just to give him the honor, because he deserves that and more. He deserves that and more. So again, I didn't get a chance to even finish. It's already 6:30. It's already 6:30. I see it right here. And I know that people are have to go to work, and I understand all that. But the word of God is alive. And the word of God speaks to us. Never, ever think that the word is not going to speak to you. The word will always speak. And if you take that moment, if you take that time just to sit down, and just read it and ponder it, that voice of the Holy Spirit is going to give you so much insight that's going to blow your mind away. Because not everything that you read here is going to be clear at the moment. There's so much revelation that even though this word is over 2,000 years old, it is refreshed every time you open it up. Every time you open it up, it is a fresh touch of the word of God in your life. And you open and you start reading it, God is going to reveal things to you. Just like he revealed his hand when I read this chapter, of John 10, 27 to 29, that we are in Christ's hand, in Jesus' hand, and then here we are in God's hand. And I'm looking at that, I say, wow, God has me, Jesus has me, I say, whoo, man, I could get excited about that. Why? Because that's the anointing of God. The anointing of God is the power of God, and you all have that in you. He already dwells in here. And he just wants to, Rabasha, he wants to come out. He wants to come out of you in your praise. He wants to come out of you in your worship. It says to worship him, with the spiritual tongue. So when you open up your mouth, Holy Spirit is going to fill your tongue, in your mouth, and you're going to be able to worship him in the spirit, and again, I don't know why I'm going in that direction a little bit, but I get excited. I get too excited and I gotta go. But you know what? If the word of God is meant for us to get excited about, it's meant for us to get excited about, because it speaks to us every single day. And I appreciate you guys coming out. I appreciate you guys coming in and even listening to me on Friday morning, you know, especially with my broken English sometimes that I go too quick. And that's sometimes my words, you know, they come out all kind of, you know, not perfect words like my son. He always speaks perfect, you know, but God's in the house. And when God's in the house, he makes all the difference. And God is moving, and God is moving in your house. And with that, I have to leave you guys. You know, I pray that you will have a blessed weekend. I pray that you guys will just focus, focus, focus. You know, don't get too excited about what's going on with all this holiday thing. Spend some time with the Lord. The reason for the season is Christ Jesus, period. Christ Jesus. It's not about gifts. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. Let's not forget that in this season. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time, for this moment, for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would just bless them. I pray that you would just equip them, Father God. I pray that you would just fill them up, Father. If anyone, Father God, is dealing with sickness, Father, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, Father. And I release healing, Father. Release healing in their lives, Father God, right now. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray for the marriages, the homes. I pray for their children, Father God, their grandchildren, my Lord, that you'll bless them, Father, that you will bless all these generations, Father God. And I thank you. And I thank you for what you're going to do. And I thank you for the miracles that are going to happen in this season. And I thank you, Father God, that you're bringing home those that are running away from you, our children that are running away from you, that you are bringing them home, Father. I thank you in advance for that. And I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, all right, all right. God bless you all. I love you. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Love you.